Welcome to Online for Authors, where I, Terry M. Brown, author of character-driven fiction and host of the podcast, introduce readers to characters they'd love to invite to lunch by interviewing authors, discussing their books, learning about the writing process, and even, on occasion, chatting live with a panel of authors to discuss topics relevant to both readers and writers. My guest today on the Online for Authors podcast is Alex Sanfilippo, founder of Podmatch. He's here today to chat with me about podcast guesting for authors. Podmatch is a software company specifically focused on independent podcast hosts and their guests to elevate their voices through podcasting and be heard. In addition to founding Podmatch, Alex is also the host of the top-rated podcast, Podcasting Made Simple, and is one of the most sought-after educators and public speakers in the podcasting industry. And I'm super excited to have him with me here today. In Alex's own words, I'm in this industry to serve indie podcasters and their guests to help independent voices get elevated and, as a result, help them serve the world in the way only they can. I love what I do. I believe I'm now doing what I was created to do, and I'm giving it 110% every day. Welcome to Online for Authors. Today I'm talking with Alex Sanfilippo, founder of Podmatch, about podcasting for authors. Welcome, Alex.
Terry, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here with Online for Authors. Love what this stands for. It's very easy to know who should be listening to this, right?
Absolutely.
I really appreciate it in
podcasting. Absolutely. So authors and readers.
Yeah.
Like if you're a reader and you want to know about, you know, some new author coming out, this is the place. But I also really like to help authors and talk about things that are beneficial to them in their terms of getting their books out there, marketing, publishing, all of those things that take your work from being a manuscript sitting on your desk to something that out there that people are reading, right? And so I wanted to talk with you about being a podcast guest. But before we dive into that, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, why you founded Podmatch, and what it is?
Sure. Yeah. And again, thank you so much for the platform. I really appreciate it. It's an honor to be here today. We've connected a couple times, and
we
for
have,
everybody.
Yeah.
Listening, watching, however you're consuming this later on, Terry has been extremely gracious with me. I had to reschedule twice due to some renovations I'm doing and having no clue how long that takes. So, anyway, I live in sunny Jacksonville, Florida, and absolutely love it here. My wife and I live here, and we've got just a great friend base here. So we have a lot of fun in our city. We're both very active individuals. So what we like to do with our spare time is we like to ride bikes. Specifically around the ocean, we have beach cruisers, so it's kind of fun. And we both play soccer, I'd say somewhat competitively. She's like an all-star player, and I'm just like, okay. So we go play in our own league. She plays in a women's league. I play in a men's league. And yeah, we just really love being able to pour into people. We both happen to believe in Jesus. That's kind of the foundation of our entire life. And so for us, we really just do our best to love people well and to serve them. And absolutely just, again, love the life that we're living here in Jacksonville, Florida, and being a software person is so fun. So to answer your question about Podmatch, I got into podcasting many years ago, really loved it, really had a hard time finding guests, which that has kind of changed now. People now
it
on both
changing,
sides might
yeah.
understand that, like, hey, podcasting's good. And a long time ago when you're the host and you told someone, hey, will you be a guest? They're like, absolutely not. Why would I waste my time? And that's
right.
changed, right?
Right.
But the reality still exists that it's very hard to find the ideal fit for a guest and a host, and also the amount of administration that goes in the background. Like, I'll say this, everyone who's listening or watching anything like that, Terry puts in a lot more work than you see. You see this, but this is only about 10% of the work that goes into it. So when we
right.
launched podmatch.com, basically the way we define it is kind of like a dating app, but instead of connecting you for dates, it connects you for podcast interviews. So it'll put the right people together faster and remove a lot of the administration and friction in between. And that way you can just focus more on the things that you actually enjoy. As podcasters, we like talking. The guests
yeah.
like to be on the podcast as well, not trying to figure out what time, what place, right?
Right.
Our goal is just to streamline all that with Podmatch, and that's really what we've done. And I love podcasting. So again,
yeah.
honored to be here, really excited to be doing what we're doing, making a big difference in people's lives from a podcasting perspective.
I agree. So let's just kind of get to the crux of it. What benefits would an author get from being a guest on a podcast?
There's a handful of them. The first one I want to share is probably the most hidden. But let's pretend like you get on a podcast and no one ever hears it, ever.
Right.
No one ever hears it. Let's just pretend like that's the case, right? Does that mean it was a bad idea? And the answer is no. And that's because there's also the benefit of SEO, which stands for search engine optimization. I'm not going to get too technical here, but basically one of the things that really helps an author rank is good backlinks from reputable websites. And here's an example. When you happen to be a guest on a podcast, those podcasts go to Apple, Spotify, exactly. YouTube. I mean, all the big websites, I'd say like out of the top 1,000 websites, it probably goes to about 200 of them. It's just going to all those different places because they want all that data. Well, now those websites are telling Google that this author is a legit author. They're reputable, right? And that helps you, your website, your book, your brand get more recognition, rise to the top of search results. I have seen that happen firsthand for many of my projects. We've never done any paid advertising. It's because we've just used podcasting. And from the SEO boost alone, again, search engine optimization, so that you rank higher in Google and Bing and other search engines like that. That's a huge benefit right there, Terry, that like a lot of people don't even realize exists.
Exactly. That is definitely one. I also tell authors that just because a lot of people didn't listen to it doesn't mean that you can't now take that content and be using it yourself. I make shorts all the time out of little pieces of content, little 30-second blips of me saying something, and then I tag it back to the original podcast and bam, it's out there again. It's like, why keep reinventing the wheel when you've got these hours? For me, I've been on over 100 podcasts now, so I have hours and hours of video that I can go through and, you know, like, why did Terry pick that cover? And you know, what does Terry do? What kind of snack does Terry like to eat most when she's writing? And those kinds of things, believe it or not, your readers want to know.
Definitely. Actually, you know what's great about what you're saying here? This is another one of those benefits that, again, this one does serve somebody, which I like. And I guess ranking in search engines does serve somebody who's looking for you as well, right? But like this one seems more direct. And I love what you just said there. People all the time ask, Alex, how did you get started in software? And I used to give this very long-winded response, kind of like I did here, right? But guess what? Next time somebody asks, I can just send them the link to this podcast episode. Hey. I'm not going to be like, can't tell you, go watch this. I'll say, hey, listen, I just explained that to my good friend Terry. Here's a link to go check that out. Listen to the first 4 minutes of it. You want to just know that part.
Right.
But again, that saves me a lot of time and gives somebody a much better response than me typing up a really long email that maybe they weren't really interested in, right? They're just trying to be nice to something that now is very engaging and interesting way to consume it, where they can actually hear more about both of our stories and be opened up to a totally new world.
Absolutely. I have a lot of people say, well, I've been on a couple of podcasts and I don't think I've sold any books from it. And the answer to that is you probably haven't, not directly from the podcast, although there are ways to open yourself up for that. And that has a lot to do with like what your call to action is. So let's talk about that. What could an author do? What is like legal, you know, like what is okay when you have a host, because, you know, it's their podcast. You certainly don't want to usurp anything and, you know, like take it over. But what is okay to do as an author in terms of a call to action?
This is such a good question. I love the way you're asking this. And I'm going to go back to the green room with you and me, Terry. Before we hit record, you asked, hey, is there something that you want to share specifically? Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate that. So if you're the author, ask the host. If they don't ask you, a lot of them these days will ask, be like, hey, is there anything specific you want me to make sure I push the audience to or right. that we can have for them, right? And so, but if they don't ask, you'd be like, hey, what's appropriate for me to share? And maybe don't wait till the moment of, right? Maybe email that in if you need to know, right? Terry and I talked a while before this as well, so we kind of both knew the expectation, but you reiterated it again to me, and I appreciate that. So I think the first thing is to know what's okay with the host. Right. And what their audience is even interested in, because they might be like, hey, you can share your book, but that doesn't convert very well. It'd be better if you did this. Right. Because they'll know that information. So just think of it as a collaborative opportunity with the host. And the idea isn't just to like, let's get these people to buy stuff. Right. No, it's to add value, to serve them. And as a result, if they feel that your book is the next best thing that's going to help and serve them, they'll pick it up. Right. And so, again, I always start off with asking, and beyond that, just some very actionable things I've seen some authors do. I've seen a lot of people give away the first chapter of the book. So you'll go to a landing page, you'll put in your email address, and it'll send them a copy of the first chapter of the book. And from there, it'll say, hey, if you like this, you can now purchase it. Right. That's a really common one. I recently saw somebody do something I really like, though, Terry. What they did is they made a little quiz to determine if the book would actually be helpful for them or interesting to them. And so sent someone to a little quiz, and it was like 10 questions. And I was like, do you like sci-fi movies and books? yes or no. And I think if you answer no, and that one's like straight up like, well, this is a sci-fi book, so you're not gonna be interested, right?
Right,
like,
right.
But it's basically determining how interested you be or if it will actually help you. I thought that was a really unique approach, because if I'm being that guest, and at the end, I'm like, hey, if you think what I'm sharing might be for you, go to takethequiz.com, right? And that's not a real website, but go see if like we agree, right? And from there, I think they did something really fancy, like had the first couple paragraphs posted there, and they said, click here to put in your email address to get the first chapter to buy. They're doing a lot of things to try to optimize it, because their ultimate goal was to sell books. But again, I think going back to something you just shared, Terry, that's really important, is really show up to add as much value as possible, because you're developing know, like, and trust with somebody who's completely out of your network. And by doing that, they might turn into a future reader. They might turn into somebody who recommends the book, even if they necessarily didn't pick it up, and they might have a friend that they're like, oh man, I just heard Terry talking about that. Let me find that book. You should get this book, right? That type of thing happens just organically. So again, it's not all about just bringing them into this funnel. It's about leading with value, sharing as much as you possibly can, holding back nothing. That seems to be what converts the best out of anything, I'd say.
Yeah, I have found that, like I said, readers want to know more about authors. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about your book. So I go on to a podcast. For instance, I just released Daughters of Green Mountain Gap. And so that's the one that I'm out there talking about right now. But it isn't the only thing I talk about. In fact, I was just on a podcast the other day for 40 minutes, and I think I only brought the book up twice, because we were talking about me and things and how, you know, how we did life and that kind of thing. And the book is there, but it isn't the sole purpose, which I think is another thing that I would like to point out and maybe have you kind of help people understand is, if you're an author, you don't have to just get on a podcast like Online for Authors, which is obviously directly related to authors, but that there are other opportunities. Do you want to discuss that a little bit?
Yeah. You know, I think this is really important. It's not discussed enough, because one of the biggest things that being a guest on a podcast will do for you is help you to clarify your message. And I've had people that are authors, like 10 times best-selling authors, and they'll still say, it just helped me hone in my message so much.
Right.
And I had one guy, I had him on my show, and this was his third book, and it became a bestseller. And he went on my podcast just before he's launching it. And he's like, man, I got to be real. He goes, I wish I would have gone on podcast sooner, because the way I'm speaking is better than the way I was speaking in the book. And I wish I could go back now. My publicist won't let me anymore, but like, I want to go back and change a few things, but they couldn't anymore. And so, yeah, when you're going on podcasts that are even a little bit out of like the direct niche to explore a little bit, you become more well-spoken. And if there's one thing I know about a lot of authors, and I think this is just natural. When you spend, I mean, thousands of hours working on a book, the first time someone asks you about it, you can't really articulate it in a sentence or two, because you just spent 10,000 hours with it, right? But after a little bit on a podcast, you learn to articulate it in such a way that people are like, oh, wow, that's amazing. You know it.
Right.
And you really clearly like told me what it is. And so I just think from the value of being able to really speak well about the topic that you just shared about, that's a huge benefit right there. And sometimes that happens when you talk lifestyle, because like you said, Terry, for me, I'm a slow reader, so I'm going to take at least a couple weeks to read a book. I'm just going to be real. But I do like to know who this author is. I don't like to get halfway through it and be like, I don't resonate with this person at all.
Right.
Like, before I commit to a week or two of my time, I want to make sure that you're somebody at the very least that I appreciate as a human being. I'm not trying to be rude or mean by saying that. I just want to make sure that, like, I feel like we kind of got that same.
Like there's some kind of compatibility. There's something that makes you say, I'd like to read what she wrote or he wrote.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's something that a lot of authors don't understand. They believe that what they're doing is marketing their book. And although that is part of it, what you're really doing is marketing yourself as a brand. Hi, I'm Terry M. Brown. I'm an author. Here are my offerings. You know, these are my three books, but it's you, you know, and it's one of the reasons why for my logo for myself is my picture. And it has, you know, little words around my head. And it's because I am the author. And I don't want to get stuck. I was wrong when I first started. So I had Sunflowers Beneath the Snow, and everything I put out was sunflowers, everything. And it was great. I had one book, but what happens when I got my second book that had nothing to do with sunflowers? Okay. I had to rebrand completely, and I didn't do it well. And then I had to rebrand the third time until I finally got what it was I was looking for. But the point is I think that we need to recognize that we're marketing who we are as a person. What are we thinking? What are we doing? People like to know the behind the scenes. You know, how long did it take you to write it? What hours of the day do you like to write? Where do you like to write? What do you eat when you're writing? I've had all of those questions. And people are interested in that. And so I think a podcast is a wonderful way to be able to get a little bit beyond your book and talk about who you are.
You know, I love what you're saying here, Terry. And I think that the thing that I just feel more and more, the more I talk to great people like you, I just realize that I think that humans are craving a human experience.
They are.
And reading is not always a human experience unless you can tie it back to something to have a connection. Oh, Terry and I like the same snack. And I know she was eating that snack when she was writing this chapter. Now
and
it's a human experience.
Bam, we're friends. Yeah.
Right? Like you're friends and they're excited to read the book. It's the same with a lot of people that are watching movies these days. Like the stats, or the facts people used to throw out about movies have changed, at least in my friend circles. But that people would be like, oh, did you see how this movie did in the box office? And people were like, hey, do you know the director was like sick half the time that they were recording it? I'm like, oh man, I got sick in 2020 as well. You know, like tell me about that.
Right. Well, like, I can't imagine being as sick as I was in 2020 and doing a movie. I mean, you know, and then there's the connection, right?
Right. Exactly. And so I think that what you're sharing there is just so important. And I believe that if all of us as authors can remember that, okay, like this is human because of me, not because I did a good job with the book, not because it's insightful. It's me behind it and building, like you did, the brand behind the book as yourself. Because again, you are the author.
Right.
I believe that's just such a great way to do it. And tying it back to podcasting, podcasting is a really beautiful medium for doing that exact thing.
It is, because it offers this back and forth, this ability to I've even been asked questions before where I didn't really like where the question was going to go. So I answered it as briefly as possible, twisted it to fit what I wanted to say, and then just went about my business and said what I wanted to say. And it works fine, because you can kind of, even with direct questions, you can find a way to kind of manipulate it around and to say the things that you want to say in terms of your book or you know, your brand.
Yeah, I find that hosts that maybe don't do their research well enough, you have to do a lot of that. I'll just call it redirecting, right? Like back to the real topic, because they think they know where they're going, but it's like, hold on, wrong direction.
Let's bring wrong it back. Direction. We're coming back over this way.
Right.
So as a guest who, say, is looking at, you know, we have a handful of podcasts and we say, okay, now I want to reach out. What is a host looking for? So as an author, what do I want to show them? When I say, hey, you want me on your podcast, what's the why behind that? What are hosts looking for?
Well, the first thing I'll say is that most interview-based hosts, you already have a step up. Let me put this there. As an author, us hosts, we know that typically an author makes the best type of guest because they're very easy to keep focused. They have they have a guide that they're willing to follow that you can also pick up a copy of, right?
Right.
And so I found that's, first off, very helpful. And nothing against people that are strictly in coaching, because a lot of them have some beautiful stories, but the stories, like their clients, tend to be all over the place. So keeping them very narrow focused, I personally, at least maybe I'm not the best interviewer or something like that, but I've had trouble when it's like just a coach, because I'm like, where do I go with that story? And they got another one that's equally as crazy and wild. And you're like, I don't know what to say next, right?
Yeah,
but an author, I'm like, we got 8 chapters here and they're all focused on this one thing. So this is going to be real easy for me.
Right.
But the first thing a host is going to look for is from an author standpoint. So if they're bringing on an author as a guest, they're looking for an author that really is more interested in leading with value than making book sales. Because unfortunately, there's a lot of authors that don't see the perspective that you and I are sharing here, Terry. They think, this is how I'm going to sell my book. So they tell the host, if you want to buy a copy, here's where you can get it. The better author guest says, hey, host, I would like to mail you a copy of my book. If you're interested, I can give you a digital version, whichever is better for you, if you'd like to have me on, right? And I can get into the actual pitch if that's helpful. But the host, the first thing you're looking for is this person actually willing to give, or are they just trying to get another sale on their book, right?
Right. So one of the first things that I do is I give a little blurb about who I am, what my book is, and I say, here is a link. I mean, I don't even ask if they want it. I send it out in my very first hello to them. Here is a link to a digital copy of my book to see if you believe that this might be a good fit for your audience. And then I also send a link to my media kit. Here's a link to my media kit so you can learn a little bit more about me and the books that I'm writing, et cetera. And I would really love to hear from you. I believe we'd be a good fit, yada, yada, yada. As a host now, I have people who say, let me know if you'd like a copy of my book. And I think, of course I want a copy of your book. If I'm going to have you on my show, why wait? If you're willing to send me a digital link, why wait? Like, do it up front. Maybe I'm crazy, but I have found that people who aren't interested don't go to the link.
Yeah.
It's not like you're giving anything away. People who aren't interested aren't interested.
Well said.
I mean, you know.
The way that you're sharing this is very similar to how, if you don't mind here, I'd love to share the five steps that I do.
Absolutely. Let's really hear well them. It.
The first thing that you just shared is the first thing I do, which is step one, which is lead with value. I like the idea of just getting the book out there from the very start, because now you've already shown the host that they don't even have to wonder. Like, I'm not like, is Terry going to try to sell me your book? No, right. It's already, you led with value. You said, here's a copy of my book. Let's see if it's valuable for your listeners. That is leading with value. You're not saying, hey, Terry here, I need to sell more copies of my book. Can I be a guest on your podcast? It's just never going to work anymore. Hosts are getting very smart and they're responsible for their listeners' ears. You're not.
Right.
So they're going to be very, very guarded from the start. And if you lead with value, that is a great way to be able to kind of spark something and say, okay, this person is like me. They're going to want to show up to serve. They're already giving me a copy of their book to check out to make sure it's good. So for me, step one is always lead with value. A little bonus here. A lot of hosts are a little bit skeptical these days because they're getting so many people outreaching. If you leave them a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts and attach a screenshot of that and just say, hey, enjoyed your show. Here's a copy of my book to see if I might be an interesting guest. By the way, I left you a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. Here it is attached. I'm telling you, every host is going to be like, okay, you have my attention officially. Like, you're a real person. You have my attention, right? I think that's a really a good one right there. Have you ever done that one or seen anyone do that?
No. In fact, I'm writing it down right now so that I don't forget, because that is, I love that. I love finding, I don't know, like new tips and ways of making me stand out above the 400 bazillion other people who are out there doing the same thing. Okay. So what other steps do you have?
Yeah. So step one, lead with value. Step two, make a meaningful request. I like to make it very clear why I'm reaching out, and not just to be a guest, but like what it is specifically I think I can do. So I like to go through the backlog of the podcast a little bit to make sure that my topic, like an example, talking about being a guest on a podcast, if they just covered that last week, it's probably not the right time. I might want to go ahead and set a reminder for 6 months from now to circle back, because if they just covered it, that's not going to work. But if I can look at that podcast and say, this podcast is about, let's use the example of marketing. Let's just say it's a digital marketing podcast, and they've never talked about, or at least in the last year, talked about being a guest on a podcast as a form of marketing. I can very easily say, hey, I'd love to come on your podcast to talk about how you can grow your social media, your website through being a guest on podcast. I noticed you haven't had anyone talk about that in the last year at least, right? Again, the host is now saying, oh, have I really not had anyone on about that? Right? Wow. It will spark someone to say,
or even, I'd never even considered that topic before. That's an interesting, that's an interesting thing I haven't even thought to look at. Okay.
Yeah. And you know, I gotta preface it with this, because this next part is offering credibility. And you said something really smart, Terry. You said you link to a one sheet.
Yeah, I do.
Really smart. Because what a lot of people do is they just insert a bunch of their credentials and stats and stuff. And here's the thing, podcast hosts got into podcasting because they want to talk. They're down to read a book, but they don't want to read a lot of emails, and they get a lot of them now. So the whole idea here is keep it as short as you can. So when you can, link out. So you don't need to repeat anything that's in your one sheet. You can say, hey, if you want to see a little bit more about me, you can click here to my media one sheet. And that's a really great way to offer credibility. In addition, something I regularly add is if I have a friend in common with this person.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, one of the things that I now do when I'm on a podcast as a guest is I ask at the end, when we're off camera now and we're just chatting, hey, you probably know a lot of podcasters. Is there anyone you think I might be a good fit for? And if they mention them, then when I reach out to that person, I say, hey, I was just on so-and-so's podcast and they suggested that you and I might be a good fit. I wanted to, yeah. Name dropping is absolutely.
For sure. Yeah, I was recently on a podcast and I have a very strict policy that I don't go on podcasts that are pre-launch. And I'm not trying to be rude, but most of the time they don't launch. And after like 10 times of doing that, I was just like, none of them ever launched. Maybe I shouldn't do this. But I had somebody recently reach out. I know this is the opposite of what we're talking about. Like, I'm talking about being the guest myself. Right. But the host reached out and said, hey, I haven't launched yet, but I had these four people on that you know. And they're all names that I like to associate myself with. All I said back was, just tell me when and where and I'll be there. because right. I knew that if those people came on, at the very least, even if it doesn't launch, I don't want to risk not being listed among
because
those
if
teams.
It does, if it does launch, you want to be there with
I want to be there.
Right.
I want to be there with those guys, those ladies, right? So anyway, so that's lead with value, make a meaningful request, offer credibility. And the fourth thing here is to mention sharing the episode. Please have integrity. Don't lie. If you have already a really busy social media life, we'll just say, and too much to post already, don't mention this. But if you really are willing to share it on social media, to link to it from your website, then mention it. Because hosts are looking for guests that are willing to do it. Again, do not lie. If you're not willing to do it, just skip this part. But if you really are and you will, then get it out there. And so what I say is, hey, anything you share on social media, you tag me in, we'll reshare it. I'll make sure it goes to my page as well. And I'm also going to make a blog post on my website about it. And I'll link to your website from mine. Okay. And so I put that in every pitch. That way the host knows, hey, I'm actually interested in this because I value the content enough to get it out there. I'm not just looking for, give me another rep. It's not like that. I'm looking to actually have a partner that I can use that episode to share with my own audience.
Fantastic. And I think you said there were five. We've been through four. Was there a fifth one?
Yeah, the last one. Good memory there. The last one's really short. And I just say, make it easy to say no. One thing I noticed is a lot of us, especially this was me for a long time, I didn't hear back because I did these first four things really well. And I realized that the host didn't want to break my heart because I could tell I put in some effort, but it wasn't a right fit or they just had a similar guest, right? So at the end, I always just say, hey, no worries if I'm not the right fit as a guest. I only want to be there if I can add value. Either way, I'd love to hear back from you. And my response is skyrocketed. And typically what I find is people aren't really saying no, they're saying not right now.
Right.
And so I was able to build that open dialogue with them because I said that at the end. And they're like, hey, not a good fit right now, but I do have a friend that might be a good fit for you. Or hey, maybe 6 months if you can remind me. Right. So like just open it up for conversation so you can start building the relationship versus feeling like them saying, oh, I'm going to really let Terry down right now. Right. Like you don't want to feel that.
So I'm just going to ignore this email and pretend it doesn't exist. Right. Right.
Yeah. Sometimes ignoring it's easier than engaging with it, but not if you open it up saying, hey, either way, I want to hear back from you. No worries.
Right. I love that. In fact, I've not done that either. And so that's another good thing that I will start adding in. I love that. As authors start thinking about these different podcasts that they could be on, are there any red flags, like things that they should like try to avoid? Like maybe this isn't really a podcast or really a good, I don't know, like, are there any red flags or should they just get on absolutely anything?
I think there definitely are red flags. It's going to be different for everybody though. Like an example, there's a podcast that uses Podmatch and they are like deep dive political and they go like all routes. They go into every conspiracy theory and they've got a really big following because some people really like that. That would be really bad for me to go on because I know they're going to ask questions I don't know the answer to. And I'm not prepared to answer.
Right.
I'm not saying it's a bad show, but for me, that would be a red flag.
It'd be a bad fit. It'd be a bad fit.
I'm going to share something that I don't really know about. And then people are going to corner me with that later because I know nothing about politics at all, you know?
Right.
And so I don't think that's a good fit for me. So even if they asked me to be on it, I would respectfully decline. Now, there might be somebody else who's in politics. They're like, heck yeah, we're going deep left. We're going deep right. And we're going to really get into this thing. We're going to talk about the moon landing, right? Like, sure, go ahead. But yeah, so I think the red flag is individual for everybody. The other thing to look out for, though, is this isn't super common because they don't last long. But podcasts that are strictly there to try to convert you as a client. Now, if it's a fit and they have an audience they're trying to add value to, go for it. But if it's like strictly someone who's trying to sell marketing services to an author and you can listen to an episode and tell they do not care. They are just trying to pitch this person and sell them something. The only way you really know this stuff though on either spectrum I just shared is to actually take a few minutes to listen to see what it is that you hear. And so that the biggest red flag would be you not listening, right? Take a moment and see. And like, we've all got a gut. Trust your gut on it. If you're feeling like this doesn't seem right, then don't do it, right? And if you feel like, you know, I've got peace about this, then go for it. And I think that you can explore a lot of things. Now, I will say, do your best to stay focused because as you grow as an author, you're going to get more and more opportunities to guest, especially when someone hears that you do a good job. At some point, so you don't get burnt out, I recommend saying I'm only doing one or two a month or whatever your cadence is. For me, it's two a month. That's what Alex Sanfilippo does is two podcasts a month. And I have to say no to a lot of them in order to do that. So they get more and more focused on either something I want to explore and talk about because it sounds interesting to me, or it's directly in my niche. So that would kind of be my advice on that side.
Okay, I do have a question. I have had some podcast hosts who request money in order for me to be on the show. I feel comfortable if it is a small amount and it's obviously they say to me, and this is to help me defray costs for, you know, and I understand that completely. But I've also been approached by some that want $1,000 or more What do you say to that?
I'm not a huge fan of it. It's one of my least favorite monetization strategies for podcasters, and it really is becoming extremely popular. Unfortunately, people in if you're a podcast host, you have costs, and it I'll admit it can be very tough to figure out how to monetize. And that's one of the simplest ways that quote unquote gurus say to monetize, just charge your guests. Right. And so I get the, how easy that is to just start doing. I'm not a fan. However, if they do have production costs that they're working to offset, and it really, you can tell it's a good show. They're not just trying to make that quick buck and leave.
And it fits.
Yes.
It's a real fit.
It has to be an absolute fit. It cannot be something that's, you can't be like, well, it kind of fits because it's about sleep. And if you read, you need to sleep good. Yeah. I don't know, right?
And two of my chapters, I have people falling asleep. So
not going to work. But it's the reason it's not my favorite. And again, all due respect, because some people, it's all they've been able to figure out. But I find that it turns connection into transaction. So you and I, Terry, today, we've built a meaningful connection here by doing this together, right? We're primed to do more together in the future. But if you're like, hey, man, need $80 from you. You just told me, hey, collaboration, connection, maybe, but I need this is a transaction for now, right?
But it's more about the money. Yeah.
Yeah. And I always say, I tell people, hey, if you're taking $100 now, you're saying no to $1,000 later, right? It's just a matter of the strategy that you have and how you'd be able to work together in the future and having that true connection. So not my favorite, but again, if it really, I don't mean to rant here, but if it is a good connection, go for it. But just be mindful of it. Give it a little bit extra time, because in my mind, the best shows really don't charge.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I have found in all of this. I did have someone approach me. They wanted to charge me $1,500 to be a guest. And I thought, you'd have to show me an awful lot for it to be worth $1,500 to me. Because knowing what I know about being a guest on a podcast and understanding that even though I've been on some podcasts with some pretty hefty listeners, that you don't see instantaneous sales. It's not like, oh, I went on that podcast, it aired yesterday, and my sales rate went through the roof. That isn't how it works. $1,500 is a lot of money, at least for me, in terms of authoring, you know? And so, you'd have to show me a lot. There's more than one kind of podcast. You know, there's the podcast like what we're doing right now. We've got the video going. However, I'm also going to put it out there where it's just audio stream. There's some that last 10 minutes. There's some that last an hour. There's some that people have predetermined questions. In fact, they ask every guest the same question. There's some that have predetermined questions based on you. There's some more like me where I just kind of whatever comes to my mind. As a guest, what should they be looking for? Or are all of those perfectly acceptable?
They're all perfectly acceptable, but make sure it's something that you enjoy. I've met a lot of people, again, using authors as the example, that are really, really great speakers. They're great communicators. They're not as good on the conversational side. They'd prefer to have the questions up front themselves so they can be prepared to present really well. And often, I mean, those make powerful stories. They can really share in a great way. But if you're more like me, I have to imagine at some point I'll write a book, Terry. I know to call you when I do, by the way.
Yeah.
but whenever that day comes, I'm more conversational. I don't know as that I'd ever be that and I'm not selling myself short. That's just not my personality to be like, Terry, ask me these 5 questions. I'm going to crush it, right? I'd rather it be just, let's just go with the flow conversation.
Right.
And so it's you knowing yourself. And I will say all these podcasters, no real ones that do better or worse than the other. The only one I'd say that has a higher churn rate of listeners, which means they listen to a couple episodes and leave, is the ones where they ask the same question every single time.
Right.
But unless it's how you made $10 million in your business. And then that question is always different, right?
Right.
But it's how did you write the book? How did you do this? And it's always exactly the same. Listeners tend to get a little bit bored of it, right? Now you might be always willing to share it. So they're always having new listeners come in. So again, there's really no right or wrong answer here. It just depends what you like. And if you're looking for something that's audio, video, or you want to be on social media as well, I've seen a lot of podcasts doing under 10 minutes now because TikTok specifically lets you upload up to 10 minutes of video. And other platforms are starting to do the same. So they're making it a little bit shorter so the whole interview can go everywhere, right? It's not just audio, video on something like YouTube. It's all over the place. But again, there's no right or wrong answer. And for a while, Terry, I actually thought that long form wasn't working. And I called it out this big group, and this guy goes, hey, my podcast is an hour and a half long. I was like, man, there's no way people are listening. I'm like, I'm not trying to be rude. And he showed me his stats and he had better engagement than I do. Yeah. My episode's like 15 minutes. So I was like, okay, you're doing something right. So there's something for everybody. It just depends on what it is that you really like.
Right. Do you think, so we did kind of cover it, but let's go over that again. You know, you can go and find out generally how podcasts are doing. And some podcasts don't have that many listeners and some have thousands and thousands. You believe that it's perfectly okay to go on a podcast that maybe only has 100 listeners at any given time?
Yeah, I would personally say less than that even. And the reason for that is like a lot of us are conditioned to think numbers from a social media perspective.
Right.
And Terry, I'm not dogging social media. It has its place. It's fine. But an engagement on social media is typically maybe someone laying down or on the couch and just scrolling through real quick, maybe double tapping.
And they put a little heart and they move on. They don't even, right.
And these days, read a video, not watch a video, right? They just read the words that are appearing at the bottom of it. They're not turning on the sound for it. There's all those things. And again, not saying anything bad about it, that has its place. But the power of podcasting is that the most similar thing I can relate it to is public speaking, where you're on stage and they're sitting in seats listening to you. And so to me, I always tell people like, well, if there was a room with 30 people in it that wanted to hear your topic, would you go speak on that stage in that room? I mean, very few people who say no to that question. And so to me, if there's even 10 or 20 people listening, that's great for me. If they're my ideal audience or someone that I know I can really show up to serve, because I imagine myself on a stage there in the audience listening, wanting to gain something from what I share.
Right.
And so to me, I just think of it, that's very, very different. Podcasting has this very rare ability to be a very intimate way for someone to consume content. And data shows that people who listen to podcasts are people that are willing or interested, sorry, in learning and growing. They're interested in furthering their own lives. So you have a totally different group of people that are intentionally seeking out this content, not opening up on autopilot, saying, I need to find something about this to continue growing. And for that reason, I think that small podcasts are perfectly fine. And they often convert very well for me as well.
Yeah, I believe the same thing. I have had people say to me, oh, I wouldn't go on that podcast. It isn't, you know, it isn't over, you know, 1,000 or it isn't over. And I've just found that I haven't been on a podcast yet that I feel like I didn't get something from it.
Right.
Something.
I agree with that. You know, there's one of the other things about this is that people don't realize the, I'm actually going to pull it up real quick here. So I'm sorry if anyone's watching this and looking at my face here, but I want to make sure I don't misspeak numbers. Whenever I'm sharing data, I like it to be, to be accurate.
So real data.
This is according to, if you type in like, I believe you just Google Buzzsprout global stats. This is their actual statistics about podcast groups. And so you're in the top 50% of all podcasts if you have more than 31 people listen the first 7 days. That puts you in the top 50%. Top 25% is if there's 120 people who listen the first 7 days. And then top 10% is 480 and so on and so forth. Here's the thing. Podcasts aren't really that big. Yes, there are some that are big, but the majority of them are actually really small. It's an intimate group of people that trust the author. My podcast also isn't that big. And I'm fine with that because I know who I cater to, who it is I show up to serve.
Exactly.
And I'm fine with it being a room with a few hundred people in it. That's a great spot for me to be.
Well, yeah. And I feel the same way. I went to a library event and four people came, and the librarian afterward was so disappointed and kept apologizing to me. And I looked at her and I said, it was great. Instead of standing up in front of the four of them, I put us in a circle. I sat in a chair and we had a much more intimate discussion, and all four of them continue to follow me in my newsletter, and it was great. Would I have loved to have had 15? Sure, that would have been great. But the four that I got were four, and they were readers. They came to the library to listen to an author, and so what more could you ask for? So the same with podcasts. You know, just look and see, is there any fit for what you do? And if there's a fit, jump in there.
There's something I always like to say, which is do for one what you wish you could do for all. Even if there's one person listening, doesn't that make it worth it? And the other thing about podcasting that's beautiful, Terry, is that in 5 years from now, not that your show isn't doing well now, but it could totally blow up, to the sense of thousands of people pouring in single weeks at a time. And most of those people, if they like it, they're going to go through the backlog. And I've recently had that start happening. I started guesting years ago at this point. And there's a few of those episodes I did years ago that I hardly even remember doing that people were reaching out like, oh, I just heard you on the show. I'm like, what is that show? Right. But people
when did I do that? Yeah.
Right? It's just now starting to click. So here I am years later benefiting from something I did 3 years ago. There's a long tail. There's a legacy to podcasting as well. So yeah, I always say, like, don't judge a book by its cover. Don't judge a podcast by its listenership. Right. It's okay because it can always grow and always live on.
All right. Well, I want to give you a few minutes, Alex, to talk a little bit about Podmatch itself and what you think it could do for authors. So, you know, here's your chance to kind of like put yourself out there. What would it do for an author who is looking to get into being a podcast guest?
Yeah, sure thing. And thank you so much for the platform again. I'll keep this fairly brief because I think it's pretty simple what it's going to do. At the end of the day, you're an author, so you've written a book, right? And this is probably now some of your least favorite parts of it, which is like getting out there marketing.
Marketing.
Right? Podcasting is a fun medium for that. And a lot of hosts will do the work for you because they're going to send you assets, social media things to post, things you can send to your newsletter, right? They're going to do all that on your behalf. So it's going to be one of the most painless parts, but there's a painful part of this painless thing, which is to actually go find hosts that are looking for guests. And a lot of people will just do cold outreach emails and pitches. Mm-hmm. The problem is those hosts have not opted in saying, I'm looking for guests. Unless they say that somewhere, you don't know. So you're guessing.
Exactly.
For all you know, they could be like, hey, listen, I'm booked out for 4 years. Like, sorry.
Yeah.
And then you spend all this time pitching, like Terry and I just said, right? And they're not actually looking. What I like about Podmatch, and there are alternatives, so go out there and do your due diligence, take a look around. But what I like about it is that these are all hosts that say, I am actively looking for guests right now.
Right.
And the other thing it does is it gives you an actual page, like a one sheet of the host. So you can see who their listeners are. They describe their listener. They describe the flow of the show. They describe who they're looking for in their next guest. You can message on the platform. You can do all these things to remove the friction from it. And that's our goal, is to get the message out to listeners' ears faster while avoiding some of the work that goes along with it. We recently did some research, Terry, to show that each booking done through Podmatch on average saves 3 hours and 14 emails or messages back and forth.
And that does not surprise me at all, because I've done it both ways. I've done the cold calling and I've done with Podmatch. I found Podmatch kind of accidentally where someone said, you know, I am only accepting through Podmatch. And I thought, well, let me go find out what that is, you know? And so I went and looked it up and I thought, okay, well, I mean, it's worth trying it for a month. Let me try this for a month and see, does it actually help me any? And in that month, I was scheduled for 20 different podcasts in that first month. And I said, oh, this is good for me. because it was so much easier. You know, you were talking about the things that you can find there. You can also, all of their links are there. So you can go straight to their website. You can go straight to their Spotify account. You can go straight. It's all there. So you're not doing what I was doing, which is I would find a podcast and then I would go and do all the looking up. Who is the host? How can I get a hold of them? Then I would go and listen to some shows. Then I would, you know, what is this show really about? What do they say it's about? Who are they looking for? Do all of that myself. And you've essentially, with Podmatch, that's all done. So now you just look and you say, no, it doesn't feel like a good fit, and you move on. Or, ooh, this does look like a good fit. Let's reach out. So,
I didn't know that story, Terry. Thank you for sharing that. And thank you. Like, I don't feel like I need to say anything else. I feel like you said it all for me. So thank you.
No, I mean, it's an excellent resource. If being on more than a podcast or two is something that you're wanting to do. Now, if you think, oh, I only want to be on maybe one or two a year, it's probably not. It's not the place for you to go, because you can find one or two on your own. But if you're truly looking to get out there and be a guest on as many podcasts as possible, then this is, I think, just an excellent way to do it. Also, you have a chance as a guest to create your own profile. So now when you reach out, you don't have to say everything, because it's there on the profile. You can say a little bit, and then the host that's considering you goes and looks at your profile, and then they can figure out, you know, are we a fit? Are we not a fit? So
that's my favorite part as a host, by the way, is the guest one sheet that's there, because I have all their pictures, I have their bio, I have their desired link, like what is it they want to share, all their social media links, websites, some previous interviews, reviews from other hosts, which is I think impossible to get anywhere else, but I can actually see they've done a good job, right? And questions already answered, idea for topic. It help again, it just cuts out so much time for me. And I have 52 interviews a year. So I want to make sure that I'm not spending too much time on that, because I also run a business, believe it or not, right? So yeah,
right.
I want to make sure that I'm streamlining where I can. So I, at this point, I'm one of those people, Terry, that's exclusively Podmatch. We're like, I'd love to be a guest on your show. I'm like, listen, unless you've got some media one sheet hidden somewhere, like if I have to spend
hours
looking,
if I have to dig for it, it's not going to,
let me just see it really quick. So anyway, that's enough on the whole Podmatch thing. I thank you for the opportunity to share about that.
Yeah, no. So generally, guys, get on a podcast. Like, not even one. Get on as many as you can, you feel that you can do. And, you know, talk about your book, yes, but talk about you and your process and offer value to the listener and to the host. Make sure that that's what you're doing. And if you do that, I think that you'll find that podcasting is an excellent part of your marketing program. So, Alex, if someone wanted to reach out to you and ask you more questions about being a guest or even being a host or starting their own podcast or whether, how can they reach you?
Yeah, thank you for that. Everything I do is at podmatch.com. If you go to podmatch.com/free, you'll be able to get access to everything I have, and you can find me. Any way you reach out, it's going to be me. There's only two people that check the email or our messages on social media anywhere. It's me and my wife. And so sometimes she helps me when I can't keep up. We've very intentionally decided not to have any virtual assistants inside of our email box or communication or executive assistants or anything like that, because we like to talk to people. We're a community building platform. Ultimately, we're here to serve a group of people. So again, podmatch.com/free will give you everything you need. And then you can also contact me in any way you reach out. You will reach me.
Fantastic. Well, Alex, thank you so much for being with me today. It's been a wonderful show.
Thank you, Tara. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Online for Authors, where I, Terry M. Brown, author of character-driven fiction and host of the podcast, introduce readers to characters they'd love to invite to lunch. Tune in next Tuesday for another podcast episode.